gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Why is it time to feel good, everybody?
Oh, yeah, because there's...
Fred got skunked this morning. We've quarantined Fred.
Thank you. Well...
Now there's dissension between Max and Fred, because Max has been in the studio, but Fred got skunked.
You didn't quarantine him in time, and he ran through the studio here.
Yep. Ooh, don't you wish this came in Smell-O-Vision's Free Speech TV?
It smells like freshly cut garlic.
Awesome. Hi, Jim. Good morning. Fred's been skunked.
Ah, I could smell it all the way up the street.
Yes.
From, like Bronson on, I could smell the skunk.
Yes. Okay. So the show, much more pungent this morning in the home studio. Woo! All right, this just in, Jim, did you hear they... Well, and again, this may turn out to be true, may turn out to be not, as everything else in this investigation. Two objects spotted by satellites in the southern Indian Ocean may be debris from the missing Malaysia Airlines flight, Australian authorities said today. So, the latest thing, well, we touched on this yesterday, but that everybody's talking about is that Wired magazine article that we mentioned, that it may have been just an electrical fire, that this is like a normal, like a pilot trying to divert to the nearest airport, and then they were overcome with smoke and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, with the radios malfunction, you know, with the
electrical
fire. Exactly. It makes the most sense.
You shut everything off with the electrical, and that would shut off the transponder. So, you know, and somebody was saying, well, one expert was saying, like, we shouldn't rush to make these pilots terrorists, like some outlets have done. Right. That being said, the pilots might be terrorists, but I'm just saying they might not.
But they're pretty bad terrorists, because they could have crashed the plane at any point.
Exactly.
But they didn't.
Right. Yeah.
They made an extreme left-hand turn to get to somewhere.
Right. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Usually it's this, like, bizarre explanation.
And sometimes the simplest explanation is the explanation.
But sometimes it's not.
You know, not as
Occam's razor, which he needs to sharpen his razor, because I go by Arthur Conan Doyle's maxim that once you eliminate the impossible, whatever is left, however improbable, must be the truth.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the opposite of Occam's
razor. But it's not as entertaining as this. Patrick says, remember that ghost ship filled with cannibal rats a few months back?
Yeah.
Perhaps there's a connection to the Malaysian ghost plane.
There are connections.
What's the only solution for a cannibalistic ghost ship rats on a Malaysian ghost plane? Mother ghost plane snakes.
Get the damn rats off my plane boat.
Plane boat?
That's what we need. There's only one solution.
Get those snake rats off my plane boat.
That's funny, Patrick. Okay. All right. Oh, speaking of other dangers of the home studio that someone has alerted me to, or if you have Jaws music, whichever. By the way, apparently the Free Speech TV fund drive is going spectacularly. Thank you, Free Speech TV
Great.
Land.
Yeah.
Cool.
However... Here's the one thing I'm not sure anybody thought through.
Okay.
Zombie rat snakes?
No. Oh. My beloved Julie in Seattle. Mama, call me vicariously paranoid, but every time you announce that for 1,000 clams, someone can buy the chance to hang out at your studio and home, I think stalker bait. Perhaps I've seen too many Lifetime Perils of Pauline-themed TV movies. Okay, there, I've said it. Now when you're being tossed into the canyon by some crazed psycho fan for wolves, possum, and badgers to gnaw on your spindly carcass... At least you won't be thinking, if only Julie in Seattle had warned me about that half-baked fundraising idea of giving away my home address to this murderous lunatic just to raise some cash for Amy Goodman. Okay, it's not just for Amy Goodman. It's for fine programming, like Amy Goodman's show and Tom Hartman's show and my show, If I Survive. And Bill Press.
So you gave out the address on the air?
No, not on the air. But whoever gives $1,000...
$1,000 gets us... visit to the home studio, which happens to be in my house.
Right.
Speaking of which...
I'm Julie from Seattle. Let me in.
Speaking of which, did
you... Julie from Seattle is lovely. I have met her many times.
Open the door! Open the door!
Speaking of which, did you see that they made an arrest in the case of that head that was found in Griffith Park?
Oh, awesome.
Remember that?
Oh, good to know. Mine will be the next one. Good. Thanks, Free Speech TV. Thanks.
Yeah. And the feet and hands were found and buried in a shallow grave nearby.
I get Free Speech TV a giant bag of cash.
Yeah.
And what do I get? Beheaded. That's what I get.
Exactly.
I'm
going to
get beheaded.
And behanded and beheaded.
Yeah. Then there'll be new promos for the Headless Body Show.
It's the Headless Body Show.
I was just calling John Fugelsang.
Just put his head,
yeah.
We'll super put his head on my...
Like that Ray Milan, Rosie Greer movie.
Yes. What was that called?
That thing with two heads or something like that.
Oh, it's got the worst movie ever.
Yeah, we're getting a plan, Chris. We've decided, right? Okay. We're going to have to pick you up in a shuttle. We're blindfolding you.
Yeah.
You're not going to
drive you in circles.
Right.
We're going to drive you in circles. We're going to slip you a Mickey. Listen, it'll be fun.
And blindfold you when you walk out
the door. Where you were.
Nope. No, not at all.
Okay. All right. Anyway, go to freespeech.org, please, for the opportunity to... You know what I'm thinking?
What?
I'm thinking, you know, the guy that owns the show that's been trying to kill me for the life insurance money?
He's getting closer.
Times are not so good for, you know, progressive media. Just saying, this might be all part of the plan.
You know, I think you should go on a ghost plane.
Okay. How many contests can we have where we give away your home address?
I want a vehicle of some sort with both snakes and rats.
Okay, I don't know why I'm laughing.
Hopefully you know why? A zombie.
You know why? Because life is short, particularly mine.
We all kind of depend on you for our jobs, you know.
Well, listen, John Fugelsang did a fabulous... This could be all part of the plan, right? Just when I went on vacation and John Fugelsang fills in and does a great job, and then suddenly there's a contest where my home address gets raffled off, and then... Okay, hey, look who's here.
Oh, there's someone who could find 123 Elm Street.
Right,
oops.
Bullfightstrategies.com. Whatever you do, don't call me at 875-309.
You know what? If you're going to try and get people to give $1,000 to come to your home, best not to talk about dogs being skunked.
Yeah,
that's true.
Listen, with Fred around, good luck to you. I'm trying to make it as unappealing as possible.
I think the skunk was fretted. It's the other way around.
You want to give a little less and get the baseball hat or something,
the messenger bag.
The, what, yeah.
Well, maybe riding Fred down Hollywood Boulevard or something.
What's that?
Riding Fred down Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, like a horse.
Pony rides.
Yeah.
There you are. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning.
By the way, CNN in full orgasm this morning over something to actually report other than a toy plane and whatever else they're doing.
Well, I don't know why we're all consumed with this Air Malaysian flight. You know, Courtney Love determined where the plane was days ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So you know, and I trust her.
Did she say where, or was she just taunting
us
with
the fact that she used Microsoft Paint to circle various parts of the ocean on her laptop and then posted those to Twitter, you know, like any scientist would.
Sure. Right.
She located it on Google Maps, perhaps?
Yes, she said there's oil slicks there. That's probably the fuselage.
Right.
So,
right.
I trust her. I mean,
her and her Brazilian power.
If I learned nothing from being a Republican, it's how to identify and trust reputable sources.
Right.
From your days as a Republican.
Yeah.
Exactly. We had sexy liberal Carlos Alzraki here yesterday, who is in the movie Planes, which thereby made him as big an expert as any other network had.
El Chupacabra.
Yes, he thinks the Chupacabra
is playing with the model plane.
What's that?
Did you see the clip of CNN playing with the model plane?
Yes.
I thought it was priceless. I've been waiting for them to, like, take Wolf Blitzer and project him onto a fake plane in the middle of the ocean with one of those holograms that they've got.
All right.
Be like, you know, the Major Kong riding the bomb down in Dr. Strangelove.
Exactly.
Wolf sitting on top of the plane.
Yes. Carl, thank goodness you alerted me by tweet to the GOP congressional nominee that says gays cause autism, dementia, and tornadoes.
Wow.
And by the way, good luck against Jan Schakowsky.
I mean, yes, okay, fine. Autism and tornadoes. But the third one? Come on.
So if you see any gay autistic tornadoes, you know who to blame.
Right. So this is obviously, gays obviously to blame for ghost plane, for whatever happened there.
We're to blame for everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, on Tuesday, this is Illinois, Republicans opted to nominate Suzanne Atanas. That's her name, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Well, and, you know, this is the Republican Party that wants to turn a new leaf to win over new voters. This is not helpful. There's also that Montana state legislator who has said that he would support a business's right to discriminate against gays and blacks.
Ah.
Oh, God.
Very nice. Yeah, they're
so,
really...
They're not doing a very good job, and you've also got the guy in New Hampshire who made the rape joke, the battered woman joke. This is not a Republican Party that is doing anything to change its current predicament.
And I'm in the just saying category this morning. Have you seen this Republican, the Republican Congress, or you know, Congresswoman to be, hopefully, that blamed autism and tornadoes on gay marriage? No, I'm just saying, looks kind of like a lesbian. I'm just saying.
I mean, she does fit a certain stereotype of maybe like a 1970s
right.
Bullish woman. Butch woman.
A gym teacher.
Yes.
Okay. Earlier this year, she told the Daily Herald newspaper, Carl, as a God-first conservative Republican, she believes many of the plights of the last several decades, including droughts, tornadoes, diseases like autism and dementia, God's punishment for gay marriage, and legalized abortions.
Sure, it's only logical. What?
God can't
decide which is, you know, better or which is worse, blaming autism on vaccines or blaming autism on gay folks.
Gay vaccines. That's what.
But
it is.
You know, this is what happens in a free society when you let anybody run, including those who belong in white padded rooms.
She, in January, said God controls the weather. Mm-hmm. God is angry. We are provoking him with abortions. We are provoking
right.
him
with God with a sharp stick.
We are poking God with a sharp stick. You think alligators walking on their hind legs and bowler caps eating baby children can be far behind? No.
Wouldn't you think that God would be happier if that's the case, because abortions are on the decline?
Right. She said, we are provoking him with same-sex marriage, gay rights, civil unions.
That's what it is. There aren't enough abortions. That's why God is angry.
Yeah.
Right.
I look forward to the day when I'm not blamed for every catastrophe that ever happens. And we're slowly getting to that point. I mean, it's now that women like this end up being the crackpots of civilization. And meanwhile, you see politicians who just can't say what they used to say about gay people and get away with it in polite company. Polite company is becoming the United States of America, and it's leaving a lot of people behind.
Carl, first, quickly, before you go, because you are a noted political strategist. We've heard all of these storylines. You saw Reince Priebus saying it's going to be a disaster for Democrats, a tsunami in 2014. Reading a piece in Salon, GOP's self-deluded optimism, why its long-term outlook is horrible despite 2014. What do you think? I mean, we're still only in March.
Well, yeah, it could be a tough election for Democrats. But I tell you what, it is a long-term problem for Republicans. They've done nothing to fix their demographic problem. And while they may be able to win an election here and there, they could even win 2016. I'm not one of those people that think they couldn't win the presidency again. It's going to be harder and harder and harder for them, regardless of how well they do in 2014 and 2016. A lot of it has to do with turnout, and particularly in Congress, it has to do with gerrymandered turnout. You know, we could see Democrats again win more votes for Congress than Republicans, but lose a few more seats.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I we've been talking a lot about, and Jackie Schechner will be here later, but about, you know, a lot of strategists urging Democrats, don't puss out, run on Obamacare, defend it.
If the only message people are getting from politicians is that people have been kicked off their insurance and that Obamacare is a mess, and they're not hearing about the wonderful success stories, including the stories of Republicans who claim that the program is a bad thing, then we can't win. We need to be telling those stories, too, about the people that it's saving.
Yep, absolutely. Carl Frisch, you remain a delight. I will talk to you next week, sir.
Appreciate it.
All right, goodbye now.
Have a good one.
Goodbye now.
Oh, no Doppler effect this time.
No, that's only with Eric.
Oh, also on the big show, besides Jackie Schechner, right. Diana Nyad, noted swimmer and Dancing on the Stars contestant.
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing on the Stars. Wow. That would be something.
That would be hot.
Listen, all you need to worry about is dancing on my grave after I'm killed by the stalker that we allow into my...
Yeah, great.
Okay, good. 20 minutes after the hour. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use that promo code Stephanie. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Here I go again. My, how can I resist her? Mama. Stephanie Miller. Now I really know. My, I could never let you go.
I don't know what I'm singing because I only speak Swedish.
Which dog is that?
It's the non-skunk dog. Okay. It's Max. Or as Carlos called him, cruise ship. What do I have?
You have
what
is crap it? On your lips.
Potato? Okay.
No, it's dark.
Uh-oh. Everybody talk amongst themselves.
Well, you got it. You
not
got
as
it.
Bad as having grips on your lap.
Okay. You got it.
All right. Hi, Max.
Thanks. Canis Maximus.
Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dear God, I'm in a downward spiral. Okay. So we were saying, in case you've just tuned in, the latest news, the two objects spotted by satellites in the southern Indian Ocean may be debris from the missing Malaysia Airlines flight. Because this has just gotten, you know, there's a theory of a day that then seems to... But a lot of people talking about the Wired magazine article yesterday. Yep. Shelley from L.A. sent it. Steph, Chris, and Jim, please read this article from Wired for a sensible, non-sensational explanation for the loss of the flight. Basically, an electrical fire can happen quickly and incapacitate the crew. In an electrical fire, you're supposed to pull all the electronics and restore them one by one to isolate the problem. So the transponder and communications should have gone offline. The sharp left turn was to reach the nearest long runway at somewhere I can't pronounce, Palua Langkawi.
Close sounds enough. As good as anything.
Close enough. And again, was what the captain should have done. Then the plane flew on autopilot until it ran out of fuel. It's a very good article. It's been very sad making to see so many media sources rushing to make these pilots into terrorists. That's the thing. Somebody, there was an interesting quote. Someone said sometimes terrorism is actually, what looks like terrorism is actually heroism. I mean, they could have just been making trying best efforts to land the plane and to...
Right.
You know,
because that one Egyptian pilot dove into the ocean, now they assume Islam involved.
Hopefully, you know, if we do find the plane, we'll have the black box recorder and we'll see what happened before the power went out if it was an electrical problem.
Yeah, exactly. All I know is that Travis Bone should never work on an airline because he regularly in his small little gnome screener closet he unplugs something critical to my home here. He unplugs. Yesterday was my phone line.
Right.
Which will be good when we invite the stalker into my house, and then my phone line goes dead because Travis has unplugged it.
So if your house makes a sharp left turn, you know he's responsible.
Yeah. Rocky Mountain Mike said I made a segue to the Free Speech TV fun drive that was so sharp I had to turn the transponders off.
That was funny.
He's funny, Rocky Mountain Mike. Oh, and then, thank God, at least, you know, I have a video security... surveillance system here, people, just telling you.
You probably shouldn't be revealing your entire security.
No, it's good for people to know that. Watching you. Yeah. Anyway, but Travis unplugged that by accident a couple of weeks ago.
Great.
And so now you just
Travis
told people
may,
that
Travis
it is...
may be part of this whole
Travis
plan.
Travis may
I bet
be
you he
listening.
Called Free Speech TV. I've got an idea.
You just told people that your security system was fallible.
No, it's not. You don't know where it is.
But they know where Travis is because
he's in the closet under the stairs.
Here's what I
you
use
keep
it for.
Saying
that. You don't know which stairs.
Oh my God.
And my security code is.
Yeah, just shut up now. Just shut up.
Yeah, this is obviously an airtight security situation here.
God.
And that someone said, let's give away a ticket to her home. Bingo! No, here's what I use it for. Like, you can access it remotely from anywhere, your iPad or laptop. So, I use it to spy on Travis when he's house sitting,
right?
Dog sitting, and also I'm like my one woman NSA. Or also, I use it to talk to Max and Fred, even though they can't hear me, because I saw them playing and I was like, goodbye, Kim, Max, get that dog, Fred. That was me on vacation, because I am a lunatic.
Yes.
Who is soon to be killed by another lunatic. All right, all the latest on the Malaysia Airlines flight and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I never envisioned my life like this. I don't know how to get out.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We were doing, during the commercial break, what we like to call hipping mama to what all the kids are talking about. There's a new teen magazine?
It's a teeny bopper magazine. It's called Yikes.
Yikes!
Yes. and has a fun pictorial of Miley's tongue through the ears.
Miley's tongue through the ears?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Through the ears?
All right. You know what? We are screwed as a nation because the kids are dumb then if that's what they're doing. Why is it always like, what are the other magazines? What's the other one we love?
Bop.
Bop?
It's always like an exclamatory, wow, yikes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sassy.
I always thought it was Tiger Beat.
What are you doing here, 60. Key Saboteur?
Why are you here?
It was my Key Saboteur, Travis Bone. You know, we realized when we were joking about you continuing to unplug critical things to my home in your little screener closet over there, is that you are the you're that guy on Airplane. Remember that kept unplugging the runway?
Is this it? Is
this it? Just kidding.
And Leon is getting larger.
And you did the Tylenol one.
Oh, yeah. It's big and long and white, and it has a red stripe down the side. It looks like a big Tylenol.
You are that guy.
I'm glad.
Johnny.
I bet you.
Johnny was his name.
You might have been involved in this Malaysia Airlines incident. Maybe it was you unplugging the runways.
Don't tell anyone.
Right. Wasn't there one island where they said they turned the radar off at night that they were saying they could have landed? Presumably it was one of the early theories. I'm just saying, Travis Bone.
Yep.
We were on vacation last week.
Coincidence?
Might call for multiple drama stings, in fact.
You don't know if I'm in the Maldives right now. Would I go on vacation? Possibly Fresno.
Fresno, yes.
I'm just saying, who is flamboyant and good at unplugging things?
If there are Maldives, it must be Bone-mees as well.
Travis Bone.
Bone-mees.
All right, be gone with you now. Go answer the phones and unplug some other critical...
No one's calling right now anyways.
Critical systems for Mama.
Shoo.
Shoo.
It'd be sad if you tweeted.
You know what he's
going to
go
address?
Do? He's going to go tweet that stupid footage of me in 1980, whatever, being a DJ that Tim and Dallas posted.
Make sure the machine guns and the turrets on the roof are loaded.
Go look at the account for @BigDTim.
I just hate everyone. Surrounded by saboteurs. All right. And now apparently I'm a what am I? A licensed liberal racist?
Yep.
According to
Zoe.
That is also rocketing about the YouTubes.
Yep.
And we at first had no idea what he was talking about.
Right.
I have no idea. He went on and on for 4 minutes and he didn't tell anybody like what I said. But now remember what I said, Jim. Remember? Because I was saying obviously there is a very racist element of the Tea Party. Mm-hmm. Didn't say everybody in the Tea Party. Didn't say everybody in the
Tea Party.
There
is an element, though, that is undeniable.
Is undeniably racist that, this the first black president is making their heads explode collectively, making them crazy. And I just said, because, I frequently have dreams. They all die eventually, but I have dreams. And I said, I hope that our presidents get progressively blacker. I hope that Ludacris is our next president. I hope then Fitty, and maybe, I don't know, if we have Hillary, but then,
Samuel L. Jackson.
Right? Ving Rhames.
Get the snakes out of the White House.
Yeah. All right. Okay. That made you nervous, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. That was the clean version, though, that we stole from the other radio
Clean-ish.
Station.
Clean.
They can't play it on the air if they have the dirty version, so.
All right, Katie. Could happen. Fitty for president. Could happen.
Could happen.
Mm. Ask Judy Tenuta. All right.
Or Young Jeezy.
Right. Right. Exactly. Okay.
Fitty is about 10 years old. Young Jeezy is a little newer.
Listen, I like the bubblegum rap. Young MC is a fan. He listens
in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Young MC.
Hi. Okay, one of the things we keep, we've gotten some hate mail for making fun of things about the Malaysian Airlines, because there are families involved.
Yep.
However, that part is obviously tragic. It's like OJ, the murder was not funny, the whole circus around it was, and so we've been making fun of the circus. But, you saw these family members yesterday stormed a Malaysia press briefing, because we've said that several times, this has got to be beyond excruciating, it's become this sort of parlor game for the media and all the rest of us, but... distraught family members of Chinese passengers who were on the flight stormed a meeting room in Kuala Lumpur ahead of the Malaysian government news conference. And a lot of people have been saying it's just, it is frustrating, I think, to everyone. And you can only imagine how much so for the families that they keep getting misinformation from the Malaysian government or the wrong information or, So at any rate, all right, here is the Tony Abbott, the Australian Prime Minister.
I would like to inform the House that new and credible information has come to light in relation to the search for Malaysia Airlines flight MH370 in the southern Indian Ocean.
Yeah, this is, and again, you know, we will see, because I think there's been previous reports, right, that they thought they saw things, flotation device or whatever that turned out not to be the case.
But these are through spy satellites, and these have been analyzed by people in the know. So it's looking more like this could be something big.
Right. Here he is again.
The Australian Maritime Safety Authority has received information based on satellite imagery of objects possibly related to the search. Following specialist analysis of this satellite imagery, two possible objects related to the search have been identified.
You know, and I said from day one, I mean, it just seemed more logical to me that it was somewhere in the Indian Ocean. But, you know, in a way, if this turns out to be true, it's kind of incredible when you think of past things in terms of how remote this ocean is and how deep it is.
Right.
I was reading that. The task complicated by the scope of the search area as well, the depth of some of the waters being searched up to 23,000 feet. Searchers are trying to retrieve and find wreckage and bodies from Air France Flight 447, remember, in the Atlantic in 2009. They had to use unmanned submarines. It took nearly 2 years to find the bulk of the wreckage, including the flight data recorders. It took even longer to determine what happened to the plane.
Yeah.
So, you know, even though this seems like the story goes on forever, for you know, again, if you're reading any about that area, I think someone was saying it's outside, like, normal. Here it is. The search area spans a vast area more than 3 million square miles. The plane is most likely somewhere in the southern end of the search area. This is an area out of normal shipping lanes, out of any commercial flight patterns, with few fishing boats. There are no islands. And he had warned this could take weeks, not days. The official's comments echo earlier analysis by U.S. officials saying the most likely location for the aircraft is the bottom of the Indian Ocean. So, and we'll see. I mean, again, like, you know, this latest thing from Wired, everybody's talking about that it could have just been a simple electrical fire that would explain all of this. That they may not know for a while, even if this is the debris, right?
Well, it's unlikely they're going to find all the wreckage.
Right.
The Indian Ocean is very deep.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and then the length of time it goes on. But interesting, we were talking, Jim and I were talking a lot yesterday about the flight simulator. There's been a lot of, talk about the simulator taken from the home of the airline captain. And of course, it always, you know, in a situation like this, everything looks fishy.
Right.
I didn't mean that literally. It is, because the stuff had been deleted from the, right?
Right.
So you think, okay, did he plan this? Was it something nefarious? And then he deleted what he had planned to do.
We got an email from someone that said, I mean, she works in a flight simulator, too, to practice it at airports that you don't go to very often. Just to
No, that's what I was, you know, well, we made fun, as we do, that I was just saying it's weird that your hobby is the same as your job.
Right.
I was just saying it would be as if I continued to do a radio show all day here in my home studio.
No, but
not for pilots.
But commercial pilots, you know, they're on the weekends, they fly their little aerobatic planes.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's their video games.
Right.
You know,
I do little drunk practice shows on the weekend here. You guys don't know. You could watch it on the video surveillance if you'd like. But
yeah, as you stumble.
I bet you we could sell those.
Yeah. Radio Miller Show.
It's just me pushing random buttons on my box and But anyway, that's the thing, Jim. As I was saying, I did not realize how common this is. It really is quite common for pilots to have these simulators. So they're saying the deleted data, what the revelation means is unclear. It could be another dead end in the investigation. It could provide further evidence for the theory that one or more may have been involved in the plane's disappearance. So it depends on, you know, what it is. Deleted files could reveal it had been used to practice diverting the plane, flying it to an unfamiliar airport, experts say. But again, that could be normal. They say that most pilots plan for that, you know, and this could be, you know, based on where the left turn was or whatever, this could be consistent with that, that's where the nearest airport was.
I wish the pilots at SFO had practiced more in simulators when they crashed.
Oh, the Asiana Airlines?
Yeah.
Even if investigators retrieve past simulations showing that he practiced flying to seemingly odd locations, that doesn't necessarily indicate evidence of anything nefarious.
No.
I'm reading here. You put in strange airports and try to land there just to see if you can do it, said one pilot. Blah, blah, blah. One expert said desktop pilots don't usually delete such files because they're small and often kept to gauge progress. He said it would be suspicious to me because there's no need to do it, meaning delete it.
Mm-hmm.
If the files have not been overwritten by new data, retrieving them probably would be trivial for a computer expert. Even if they were, tools exist to help retrieve partial files that could be used for investigations. Although the search area spans a vast area of nearly 3 million square miles, they're saying, it sounds like that latest analysis, Chris, was right, that looks like where...
Yeah.
You know, they're finding debris, if this is, in fact, debris from the flight. So we've been going over and over this because the aircraft's first major change of course, an abrupt westward turn that took the plane off its route to China, was almost certainly programmed by somebody in the cockpit. The change was entered into the system at least 12 minutes before a person in the cockpit believed to be the co-pilot signed off to, you know, say goodnight, that thing we've heard. Some experts say the change in direction could have been part of an alternate flight plan programmed in advance in a case of emergencies. Others suggested it could show something more nefarious was afoot. So, yeah, you go, was it an emergency plan, or is it weird that it was programmed before he said goodnight? Was it just maybe in case?
It's hard to tell. I'm not a pilot expert, and so I don't know what is the norm and what isn't.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like everything that comes out there could be nefarious explanation, and there could be a normal explanation.
Right.
It just depends on... The Thai military, meantime, said it had spotted the plane turning west toward the Strait of Malacca early on March 8th. That supports analysis of Malaysian military radar that has a plane flying south over the Strait of Malacca into the Indian Ocean. Authorities say information from satellites suggests the plane kept flying for about 6 hours after it was last detected by Malaysian military radar. So, you know, and meanwhile, they're saying they're continuing investigators looking into the background of all 239 passengers and crew. They've received background checks on all nations with passengers on board, with the exception of Russia and Ukraine.
Huh.
See? Which goes to my theory yesterday that Putin is obviously feeling grabby.
He is.
And he might have grabbed the plane. I'm just saying. The only ones that have not provided background checks. Russia and Ukraine.
Maybe they were a little busy, preoccupied.
Ukraine's
busy. Oh, by the way, he's eyeing something else now. Estonia. Russia is now concerned about ethnic Russians in neighboring Estonia.
Mm-hmm. Which was a Soviet Socialist Republic at one point, I believe.
Yeah.
Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania.
Anyway, so, and then the final thing in this piece, some experts have warned against hastily jumping to conclusion about the role of the pilots. I've worked on many cases where the pilots were suspects, said one official, and it turned out to be a mechanical and horrible problem. And that was the thing. She said sometimes an erratic flight path is heroism, not terrorism. So
Terrorism.
Oh, no. That is I wonder what Bob Walters thinks on The View.
Terrorism.
Terrorism or heroism?
If tarot card readers take over the plane, then you're in trouble.
Terrorism, yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Shall we, Shepard? What do you think? All right, 47 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I'm a new soul. I came to this strange world hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake.
Oh, yeah.
La, 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 la,
I'm about to be a new soul.
Yeah.
That's why I'm wearing my skull and crossbones. Over the fact that we've just raffled off my home address for Free Speech TV. I'm not nervous about it. Don't worry. I'm fine.
Not at all.
Okay. I'm sure you two would take a bullet for me.
You have skull and crossbones, a heart, and a wheel.
Right. It's a spinning shirt.
My heart is like a wheel.
It's a spinning shirt.
And there's a...
Death is just weakness leaving the body.
Right.
Too much spinning, heart attack, death.
Right.
There you go.
Right. And
if
a peace sign when you're at peace, when you're resting.
I don't think it's a good business model when you try and kill your clients.
It's supposed to be cool. Okay, listen.
Just saying.
All right. Yes, this is what I believe those in law enforcement would call unwise. But if you give $1,000, you will enjoy a meet and greet right here in my home studio with me and the Mooks.
Some people have already.
Yeah, well, you know what? Seriously, we're going to blindfold them. We're going to put them in a van. Spin them around a few times.
Yep. Drive in circles.
Right.
For a couple hours.
Right. But then, you know, then we'll go to lunch after. But, you know, we'll let your tummy settle down. Give you something carbonated.
A saltine.
But it is free speech fun drive time, everybody. Call 1-877-378-8669 to make a donation to stand with your network here on Free Speech TV. By the way, you can get, you know what, I would go for the other stuff. The Stephanie Miller Show swag, I haven't even seen it yet. That's how brand new and exciting it is. $60, you get the Stephanie Miller Show coffee mug, $120, the coffee mug and the messenger bag, $240, you get the coffee mug, the messenger bag, and the baseball cap. For $360, you get the coffee mug, the messenger bag, the baseball cap, and the hooded sweatshirt. Maybe we'll put the hooded sweatshirt over people's faces.
Make them wear it backwards.
Put you in a Stephanie Miller Show hooded sweatshirt.
We'll make you wear the sweatshirt backwards.
Right.
So you put
the
up
hood will
your
be
face.
On your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't mention it. Don't, you know what, don't do the thousand. You don't want that. You want the other
stuff. Go for the 10,000.
Yeah, yeah, freespeech.org. Do it. Yeah. That's too expensive. I'm doing reverse psychology, see?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to raise boatloads of cash now, and I am halfway home to Skull and Bones!
The secret society?
Hmm? What?
The George
the
Bush
George
secret
Bush
society?
Secret society.
I'm fine.
Not a secret anymore. Thanks a lot.
Like I'm smart enough to be in Yale. Hey, Richard, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hey,
hi, Richard.
Good morning. Good morning, gang.
Good morning.
You know, I've been kind of keeping track of the covers that CNN has been having of this Malaysia flight, and I'm almost in the belief that CNN might have had something to do with the disappearance of this flight because they have not talked about.
That's true. They have been having a lot of troubles, a lot of ratings troubles. Just saying, and their ratings only bump when there's breaking news. So I'm just saying, has anyone kept an eye on Jeff Zucker?
Hmm.
And it. Notice the way that they cover this stuff with two people in particular, like Wolf Blitzer and Brooke Baldwin.
Yeah.
Wolf Blitzer, I've noticed every time he brings in a bunch of experts and starts to ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
It, for example, like the question might be, you know, how do you make green? Okay. And the guy will be like, well, Wolf, you start out with blue, and then Wolf will cut in, yeah, and then you add yellow and you mix it around, and depending on how much yellow you put in, that tells what shade of green. Yeah. Okay, next question. And this is the way he treats his guests. And then Brooke Baldwin had one guy that she asked who was supposed to be a real expert with years in the business, and he really started to point back because apparently this flight had a bunch of these lithium batteries or whatever in it. The U.S. carriers are not allowed to carry more than a certain amount, and apparently there was a ton of them in the cargo hold of this plane. And these things are known to start burning.
Hmm.
And this is like, you know what, if these things caught fire, it would have taken out the electrical, and everything that this plane did after that would have made total sense.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Brooke Baldwin cut this guy off and pointed the whole conversation right back to...
Yeah, journalism majors in college will be able to major in hypothetical questions after this whole coverage. How many hypothetical questions can you ask in the course of a 5-minute
When
interview?
I was a journalism major, we were told hypothetical questions didn't count.
That's all there is on CNN. But what if...
How many hypothetical can dance on the head of an...
Yeah, exactly.
Right. All right. What was I saying? Oh, because... Well, we were saying we suspect everybody. Well, I suspect everyone because I don't trust anyone in my life anymore.
Well...
Mostly... Travis, I think mostly... Suspicion falls on Travis.
Mm-hmm. He's a saboteur, that
he
one.
He has that glint in his eye. He's just a little... He's out there tweeting incriminating stuff about me. He's uh-huh. unplugging critical things.
I just launched a nuclear strike.
And
well,
I'm just saying, he could have... He was on vacation, not with us, but we were all on vacation last week. Oh, like he didn't just turn the lights out? I bet you he just did that.
Interesting.
Oh, my God. He just did that.
He did.
Oh, you bastard person. I hate you and your ass face. That was funny, though, Travis. That was funny. Not for the radio audience who didn't see that Travis just turned the lights out in here. Oh, my God.
Why is the light switch out there and not in here?
So, Travis, so he can be a saboteur. He is the Johnny from Airplane. Yes, he is.
It's going to be a long night. How about some coffee, Johnny?
No, thanks.
I want your best available man on this. A man who knows that plane inside and out and won't crack under pressure.
How about Mr. Rogers?
Mayday!
Mayday? What the hell is that?
Mayday? Why, that's the Russian New Year. You know, we'll have a big parade and we'll serve hotter dirt.
Chief, this weather bulletin just came off the wire.
Johnny, what do you make out of this?
This? Well, I could be a cap, or a brooch, a pterodactyl.
Johnny, how about some more coffee?
No, thanks.
What kind of plane is it?
Oh, it's a big, pretty white plane with red stripes and curtains in the window and wheels, and it looks like a big Tylenol.
Ease off, Rex. He hasn't flown for years. It's not his fault. It could happen to any pilot.
It happened to Barbara Stanwyck.
Too hard.
All right. I'm telling you, he pulled the lights out on the runway for that Malaysian Airlines.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Which is what happened to Barbara Stanwyck.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's starting again. People are sending us pictures of their cats and dogs
cats
and finches watching
show.
Us on the TV. It's Bebe the cat. Hi, kitty. Hi. Okay. I'm telling you, I feel Animal Planet is calling. We could have suggestions on what to do for a skunking. Fred was skunked earlier this morning, if you've just tuned in.
I hope you have enough tomato juice for that.
Ooh, I do not.
But then it would turn your dogs pink, and you'd have gay dogs.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. And also, we have, a Free Speech TV fund drive going on. So various hostage demands. Let's see. Tracy, hi, Steph and the Mooks. Just made my $60 donation to Free Speech TV. Anxiously awaiting my coffee mug. I was wondering if you could say hi to Vinny the Min Pin. Hi, Vinny.
Vinny.
Hi, Vinny the Min Pin.
Hey, Vinny. Vinny the Min Pin.
If Jim could please say Roku.
Roku.
And Chris could flex his muscles. I would appreciate it. Listen, we will whore ourselves out in any way possible. Look at me. I've been charting it up all week with the see-through shirts, cleavage shirts. Oh, Tommy in Columbus, I have $50 for Free Speech TV if you hang a picture and hide the electric cord that goes to your stripper pole. Listen, it's a lamp. I just didn't realize the top of it wasn't in the shot.
Not in the shot. It's a, like, was that, like, La Leak thing? Was
normally...
Talk amongst yourselves.
Normally, aren't outlets usually towards the floor? Why are they in the middle of the wall?
Because we're underground?
This was a dad workshop originally, where some old man made wooden ships in a bottle or something that men make in kind of workshop situations. This, everybody was hoping to see, is my bronzed ass.
Oh.
That's actually my ass. This was also for charity at some point, remember? We auctioned off, there's another one of these in some guy's basement here. So some guy literally has a piece of my ass in his basement. But that is right there for some reason, because why? I have a death wish, perhaps, so in the next earthquake, I will be killed by my bronze
ass. By your own ass.
Right.
It looks heavy.
It is heavy. Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Well, it's mostly the base.
Right. Are you saying my ass is fat? Is that what
you're saying? That's like you have a marble base.
Oh, my God. You're saying
on your
ass.
Fat ass.
Oh, my God.
Now I have to go to 6 more spinning classes. See what you did? Oh, all right.
And another 10,000-mile hike.
Can we raffle off Jackie Schechter's home address instead? She's much hotter. She'll be here in hour number 3. Mm-hmm. All right. And you can go see her cat Emmy in the sink. It'll be fabulous.
Don't tell anyone she's at 123 Elm Street.
Shh, stop it.
Shh, quiet.
Oh, Jim. All right. Let's see. Who is this from? Oh, Margaret Staff. I got 2 of the VIP tickets that became available in Madison a couple of weeks ago. OMG, that's been sold out since forever.
Yes.
They have, I believe, a waiting list of like 100 people waiting to buy tickets, and I'm so sorry. But you know what? Road trip, Chicago. Mooks will be there in April.
We will.
Let's see. But Margaret says, at the previous 2 times I saw you in Madison, I took my youngest daughter and then my oldest daughter. This time I'm bringing my husband with me, who has been slow to embrace your humor.
Slow.
It's a slow turnaround for some people.
It's like trying to maneuver an aircraft carrier.
But it's been coming around since you've been on our TV. Anyway, see, he appreciates me tarting it up.
Aw.
Anyway,
it's more than Amy Goodman would do.
Amy Goodman doesn't need to do that sort of thing. She's a journalist. I got to work with what I got.
She doesn't get Japanese hair straightening.
Anyway, he was wondering if he could grab your ass when we're at the meet and greet. I said he might want to ask you first, what's the proper etiquette? You don't have to ask.
The actual one or the bronze one?
No, the actual one. You don't have to ask. Just do it. Just do it.
She's offended if you don't do it.
Yeah. By the way, could you get my Stephanie Miller Show side effects ready? The lawyers have called this morning.
Uh-oh.
Because we got another damn Jim.
What?
Letter. Yes, it's a damn Jim. Mike in Oregon. Holy Jim's description of Dr. Dobson, show him your penis, quote, damn near caused me physical damage while listening to your podcast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
He actually said that. James Dobson.
He did.
How to keep your kids, your boys, from becoming gay.
Gay. Yeah.
You should warn people.
Have them put round pegs into square holes and do manly stuff. And
that's how he sounds, too.
Be sure to show him your penis.
What?
I don't know if we had another earthquake, but I think I saw my ass just adjust itself to hear Jim's impression better. Did you see that?
What? What did you say?
This is the weirdest show ever. True story, I was bent over a valve located in a vault, and I laughed so hard my hand slipped off the handle, and I about crashed into the sidewalk head first. Jeebus Christmas, you guys are funny. I think OSHA needs a safety chapter devoted to your show. Well, we are required to air this every now and again.
Don't worry. Work, listeners of the Stephanie Miller Show have been known to suffer serious side effects, including but not limited to rickets, rabies, scabies, eczema, the heartbreak of psoriasis, hemorrhoids, hematomas, heebie-jeebies, gingivitis, laryngitis, halitosis, expialidocious, projectile diarrhea, Epstein-Barr, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, Steinberg,
Flavin,
undescended testicles, distended ovaries, and exploding uvula syndrome. Consult your doctor if you are pregnant, awake, breathing, or have eaten within 12 hours. Some settling may have occurred. Do not use near open flame. Seek immediate medical attention if ingested. Do not induce vomiting.
Thank you, Jim.
Important safety tip.
Yep.
Thank you, Egon.
Thank you. And now it's time for Skunk Talk. Hello, Katie in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Listen, you had called in suggestions about the skunking of your dog.
Yes.
And I want you to know, MythBusters did an awesome show on this.
Who did?
MythBusters, including the tomato juice, and they found a combination. It's like it's mostly water, but it's a certain percent plus hydrogen peroxide, which would be awesome on your dogs because my dog's dark. I would never use it on them because it would bleach their fur.
Oh.
Well, I suppose if they were skunked.
Listen, I've already been called a licensed liberal racist. What do you think I will be called if I make my dogs even whiter than they are now?
No. But then in a little bit of baking soda and then just a couple drops of some sort of scented, like, dish soap.
Oh, all right.
Just a few drops. And they scrubbed the bathroom wall with it, and they did all different remedies. They did beer. They did tomato juice. And that really worked.
I'm writing this down. What is it again? Hydrogen
you
peroxide?
I don't know. It's a combination of water, baking soda, hydrogen peroxide. I don't know what the proportions are, but you can easily find it out.
Okay.
And then a couple drops of the dish soap for scent.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
So you can pour it right on them and then rinse them right off. And it would probably, let it sit for 2 minutes and then rinse them off. And it might really do the trick.
My alternate plan is making them go home with you to Chris or Jim for a couple of days till it wears off.
I know, but why does he keep getting skunked? I mean, does he have such range that when he goes out that he can...
He is a good guard dog, just saying to the person that might be thinking about...
No, he just wanted to play with the skunk, and the skunk wasn't
having
any of
it. I want to play with the skunk.
Want to hug you and kiss you and touch you.
Uh-huh.
I thought you were a kitty cat.
Well, he looks like that big sheepdog, in those sheepdog and wolf cartoons.
Yes, he does.
Morning, Fred.
Morning, Sam.
All right. So we were saying, if you have just tuned in, the breaking news this morning, two objects spotted by satellite in the southern Indian Ocean may be debris from the missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. Australian authorities said Thursday, fueling cautious hopes of a breakthrough. They are saying the weather is hampering the search. There's a lot of, it's bad weather, fog, stuff like that. So the president yesterday talking about resources and the search.
We have put every resource that we have available at the disposal of the search process. There's been close cooperation with the Malaysian government. And so not just NTSB, but FBI, anybody who typically deals with anything related to our aviation system is available.
Rain clouds and limited visibility is what they're calling it. I said fog, but I don't want to put out misinformation. That seems like what they're describing.
Sure.
But, every time I say something on this story, someone goes, no, it wasn't a sharp left turn. It was a, I'm like, yes, okay. I wasn't there. It was
sure
described
looked like
as,
it.
Right, it's
it was,
right.
It was
someone's
beyond.
Someone's like, no, it was gradual. And I'm like, that's not what I heard.
It was beyond 45 degrees. It was like a hairpin turn.
Yeah, Exactly. So. Eric Holder yesterday.
We're trying to offer whatever assistance that that we can, but at this point, I don't think we have any theories that that I could propound.
All right. And yesterday, the big news, of course, is they took the simulator from the pilot's house, and there was data that was deleted, which, you know, and once again, could be suspicious, could not be.
Yeah.
So Christopher Voss, former FBI special agent.
The computer's been intentionally wiped. Then you know that there's something that the owner of the computer wants to conceal from someone.
Yeah, one expert I was quoting earlier said it was suspicious to him that you don't normally delete stuff like that. You usually keep it to, you know, gauge progress if you're practicing, you know, certain landings.
But if you didn't want people to know where you were thinking of landing.
Right.
Then, yeah, that does look a little suspicious.
I think the problem is there doesn't seem to be any explanation for why they would, do you know what I mean, like what the diversion was, if it wasn't, in fact, this latest theory of an electrical fire and a you know, emergency. But anyway, all right, so much more to come. We have Diane Nyad, famous swimmer, and also from Dancing with the Stars.
Not dancing.
I said Dancing on the Stars.
Last hour.
Right.
Right. That's not the name of the show.
That would be a better show, actually. Dancing on the Stars.
And I'm just saying, Diane Nyad is strong. She could stomp some bitches.
She is.
That might be more entertaining. However, she joins us at the bottom of the hour. She is very inspirational. She's the only person to swim from Cuba to the U.S., not in a shark cage, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Wow.
You try that.
Yikes.
Yikes, exactly. And then Jackie Schechner for Jackie's Healthcare Corner and all of hour number three.
Who could swim to Cuba from Florida?
I think she could. She is small.
But...
yet plucky.
Yes, she is plucky.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Famous swimmer Diana Nyad coming up at the bottom of the hour. She's on Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
Okay. By the way, we break now. Well, not break. Just a break from, you know, Malaysian Airlines and Russia and blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah. British jury couldn't stop laughing about defendant's penis size. Jury in the trial of a British publicist. Guess he doesn't want to publicize that.
Well, too late.
Accused of sexual assault and had to be dismissed from the courtroom after they couldn't stop laughing about testimony concerning the defendant's 2.5-inch.
That's not an assault. That's a tickle.
Max Clifford. The defendant is a publicist accused of assaulting 7 women. But according to court testimony, Clifford, who once claimed to have slept with Diana Ross,
I find that hard to believe.
Might have said stop in the name of love. Yes. I can't even feel that.
Stop in the name of nub.
Yikes. Stop in the name. Okay. He's starring in a new musical, Annie, Get Your Nub. All right, you know what? We can go on and on and on. He was so poorly endowed, even his victims made jokes about his size. The court has heard claims that his penis is tiny and no more than 2.5 inches when erect.
Mm-hmm.
One woman remarked, "I have a small mouth. I do. My dentist has always said." The judge then had to dismiss the jury for a few minutes so they could compose themselves, saying it is inevitable in a case dealing with this sort of graphic detail that members of the jury want to burst out laughing. I see a little silhouette of a scaramouche, scaramouche, through the fandango. Okay. All right. I mentioned...
Was it a member of Minikiss? We don't know.
It was a member, for sure. A tiny member. Hey! Okay. I mentioned this earlier. Russia now concerned about ethnic Russians in neighboring Estonia.
Oh.
Oh. They're so possessive. Once they show concern for you,
We are very concerned about Estonia.
Yes, where is our creepy Russian music? Thank you. Prior to Russia's invasion of Crimea, Moscow cited its concern for how ethnic Russians living there were being treated. On Wednesday, Russia expressed its concern for the treatment of ethnic Russians in another former Soviet territory, the Baltic state of Estonia. Russian diplomat expressing concerns about the rights of Russian speakers to freely speak that language in Estonia. By the way, while evidence of mistreatment of ethnic Russians in Crimea has been difficult to come by, the mistreatment of non-Russian Crimean residents has been surfacing.
Yeah.
Yikes. Reports are emerging from occupied Crimea that ethnic Tartars... Just fill in your own joke.
They make a great sauce. What?
There's something fishy about that.
Have they tried dental floss? No. In that region have been asked to vacate the homes they presently occupy. The body of one Crimean Tartar was recently discovered after he was tortured and murdered, leading to a series of demonstrations by the region's increasingly nervous Tartar minority. Yikes. Donde los yikes? The president, meanwhile, thank God, and this had to just make Lindsey Graham vapor out, come to the end of his vapors. The president has ruled out military intervention in the Ukraine. Ukraine. There's no the.
No.
Ukraine.
President Obama has ruled out U.S. military engagement with Russia over Ukraine, arguing Wednesday it would not be appropriate or good for Ukraine. Good. We're not going to be getting into a military excursion in Ukraine. What we're going to do is mobilize all our diplomatic resources to make sure that we've got a strong international coalition that sends a clear message, which is that Ukraine should decide their destiny. Obama said he sees Putin acting out of weakness, not out of strength, in attempting to take control of Crimea. Sarah Palin, talking to you. Putin, the president said, is not comfortable with members of the Soviet Union making moves to align themselves with the West. Vice President Biden yesterday.
President Obama wanted me to come personally to make it clear what you already know, that under Article 5 of the NATO treaty, we will respond. We will respond to any aggression against a NATO ally.
Oh, John McCain, I'm guessing it's not bomby enough for him.
That's right.
Right?
The weakness of the president's initial response.
Right.
Remember, this is the first time since the end of World War II that a European country has been invaded and annexed by another country, that sanctioning 11 people is, it's hard for me. I run out of verbs and adverbs.
Or adjectives.
I got one. I have one. How about hypocritical? In that you didn't really say anything like that when Bush was president.
Yeah.
Putin did that with Georgia. Okay. Not Atlanta. The other Georgia.
Right.
Okay. The UN Secretary General.
This is the gravest threat to European security and stability since the end of the Cold War.
What's his name? I saw you
You're
skip right over that.
Anders Paul Rasmussen.
Yeah.
See,
wasn't that hard?
It wasn't so bad. No, it wasn't. Don't scare me.
Well, then why'd you skip over it if it was that easy?
You know what? I'm like a battered pronunciation wife of this show. I just flinch. Even when I have something right, I'm like, disparage. Yes, that's right.
Disparage. Yeah.
Right.
There's three syllables. You pronounce it with two syllables.
Disparage.
Maybe flinch. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour.
Don't disparage my asparagus.
Aspersions. Don't cast aspersions on my asparagus. Okay, Diana Nyad. I'm bringing him back up. Coming up next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Market this to drunks or us or
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, enough skunk remedies. Thank you, Mama. Thanks you. Let's see. Scott says the baking soda, water, and peroxide stuff really does work. I used it on my Greyhound Harley. Oh, that's a big job. Greyhound, Great Dane, that'd be a big job. All right. She's here. Yay.
Yeah.
Very, very exciting. Very, very exciting to meet. I did not even know this. Obviously, we all know she's a very famous, terrific swimmer, but she is the world record swimmer. She's the first person in history to swim from Cuba to Florida without the use of a shark cage.
That's right.
You try that, people. Good morning, Diana Nyad. How are you?
I'm doing great, Stephanie. I'm going to fawn over you for just a second. I listen to you all the time. I have for years. Oh. You're the smartest person working on radio, and I'm just a huge fan of yours.
Oh my God, you had me at hello. Well, I am such a fan of yours too. I was saying I didn't know the particulars of that, but you know, I think it's not even just what you did; it's the sort of inspiration that you give people. That you know, you're a terrific public speaker, and the way you talk about, like, you know, that don't ever give up and pursue your dreams. This was your fifth attempt, right? To swim from
It was, Stephanie. It was literally a lifelong dream. I just, you know, since I when I was 9 years old, Stephanie, I stood on the beach in Florida. The Cuban Revolution had just happened. I had a lot of Cuban friends. I was growing up in Florida, and I had this mystique, like millions of people do, about the colonial architecture and the music and the, you know, the whole Cuban thing and the dancing, by the way. And I looked across that shore, and I said to my mother, you know, where is it? Where is it exactly, Cuba? I'm 9 years old, and she said, come here. Point, it's right there. As a matter of fact, it's so close, somebody could almost swim there. Well, it turned out that somebody was me, but it was deep in my imagination that
wow.
swim all my life.
Wow. I mean, so you had four attempts. A lot of strong swimmers, of course, have tried since and failed since like 1950. But again, I think it's your story of not, because by the way, all of my dreams have died, but that, you know, then I saw you on TV with a jellyfish stuck to your eye, and I was like, I could do, all right, you know what, I'm going to keep dreaming. I wanted to go spoon you. You looked so cold. But
you know, it was, yeah, there's so many elements. There's a long list. You could pick, if you and I sat down and put all the charts of the Earth's oceans in front of us and wanted to pick a 110-mile stretch, it would always be difficult. That's a long, long way for a swimmer. But you could pick a lot easier places that don't have so many obstacles out there as this swim from Cuba to Florida. You know, and as you just said, it wasn't just me. You know, many people, good, strong swimmers have tried it, but, you know, I was stubborn. You know, by the time I failed the fourth time and wanted to go back the fifth time, Stephanie, the people on my team were saying, you know, Guam is awfully nice this time of year. You know, maybe we should just shoot for someplace else. There's no shame in moving on from this thing.
Or maybe crocheting. Maybe crocheting is good at your age, is what, you know.
Yeah, but any place but Cuba.
This is the thing I love that you said. You are never too old to chase your dreams. And I think that that's... you know, that's why this is such a sort of inspiration. I mean, you know, we can chase them with a little more brittle hips, but we still can chase them. And I think it's so inspirational to people.
Well, you know, it is, I guess. And I tell you something, though. At 64, I probably won't say this at 94, but at 64, I actually feel I am dead center in the prime of my life, every way. So, you know, it's intellectually and emotionally, we all get better as we get older. You have more perspective on life. You don't sweat the small stuff so much. But I think even athletically, physically, I am right at the prime of my life now, much better athlete than I was in my 20s.
Wow. Yeah, I remember, who was it? Jane Fonda said I was in much better shape at 50 than I was at 20. I mean, I think that that really is a good point. I think I just get numb, so then nothing bothers me anymore. Because, yeah, I mean, right? Now,
right.
And here you are dancing on the television, which is to me even more terrifying than swimming without a shark cage. But
you know, terrifying is not the wrong word. As I stood out there before that first foxtrot, which, by the way, was the most foreign alien thing to me. If you and I were friends and a month ago, you would have said, "Oh heck yeah, Nyad, you are a dancer. You're gonna kill this thing." Well. You know, I always have been. I've been the dancer of my little peer group. When we go to a club, I'm right on the floor doing my little moves. But the foxtrot, I was absolutely miserable at. So I have to say that not just for me, but all 12 of us who got out there on the floor with just a few days to prepare something we've never done before, it is terrifying. And, you know, I might be real close to the bottom of the leaderboard, but I had a, it was a kick in the pants getting it together. My partner, Henry Bialikoff, Stephanie, if you had to lock a door and press your body against someone for hours every day.
Hello.
This is the man you want to do it with, Henry. yeah. So, you know, I'm just having a ball, and I've had a little ego bruising, but, you know, I'm going to bring it with the cha-cha and see if it can't move up in the standings a little bit.
I love that you're like, sharks, foxtrot, that is terrifying. What? By the way, I forgot to ask that question. Why no shark cage?
Well, the public, when they hear that, they say, okay, she's the first person to do it with no shark cage. Well, you know, yeah, that means she decided to put herself in danger out there. And there's no, you know, understating it. The sharks, the oceanic white tips, the tigers, the ones that live way out, 50, 60 miles offshore, they are dangerous. They're aggressive. They haven't eaten sometimes in a long time. You know, there's no reefs out there. They're just, you know, catching free swimming, you know, things. And you need to have tremendous respect for that environment. And we have, you know, a certain layers of divers and, you know, shark repellent called Shark Repel. And
I understand, their favorite food is lesbians. Is that just a myth?
Oh,
I'm just asking if it's a myth. It's why I don't go in the ocean.
You know, no, it's a good point. It's a good point. There's a lot of research to that effect. You're right. I was going to say that, you know, a cage, and I don't criticize anybody who uses a cage. I get it. You're safe in one. But what happens is these little eddies, as you're moving forward, even slowly, a mile and a half, 2 miles an hour, little eddies form around the outside of the cage. They start swirling around the back of the cage, and they push the cage forward. So when you're in a big structure like that, you're moving 2 to 3 to sometimes 4 times faster than your normal speed. So if you do a swim with a shark cage, you have an asterisk next to your name. And I had tried this so many times. It was so deep in my imagination that I did not want an asterisk next to my name.
Wow. So it's like the blood doping of ocean swimming, the shark cage.
You get to do it,
yeah,
but then it's a different category of swim.
Yeah, wow. Ed, that is interesting. Was it terrifying? I mean, did you have a lot of shark? Was all week was shark week for you? Did you have a lot of encounters or?
They're always out there. And my team, you know, you can picture me. I'm sort of dazed, and I've got goggles over my ears. I'm singing Neil Young heroin addiction songs and, you know, to myself. And, you know, I'm just trying to keep myself busy. And there are a number of crises that happen to go across. So I don't see anything. I turn my head 50 times a minute toward the side of the boat. So, you know, luckily, I'm not concerned with the sharks, and I don't see them,
wow.
But the team does. And
yeah,
team
that's in.
And they're brave. We swim pitch black at night. We don't use any lights because of the poisonous jellyfish. They're attracted to light. Sharks are attracted to light. We swim in absolute pitch black. You can't see your hand in front of you. And those guys, they're brave. They come in with their big, long fins, and they swim all night with me just in case.
Wow.
Something comes up and bumps me, they're ready.
Wow, you are the bravest woman alive. I like that strategy. La, 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 I do not see you, shark. And good luck on your next dream, and that is dancing with Cheryl Burke, if you get to the next round, right?
I don't know, you know, how Dancing with the Stars feels about it. And don't get me wrong, because I love my Henry, and I don't want to leave my Henry. But if I get as far as the week where you get to switch partners,
right.
I think it would be kind of cool to do like a 1920s salon, you know, where they were very sophisticated, and Cheryl and I come out in two gorgeous dresses and do some kind of rumba or sexy dance together. Yeah. Now, I don't know if Cheryl wants to do this. I'm just putting
Listen,
it out.
America is actually, ready. We are at a moment actually, in equality and in time, and we are at a tipping point. We are ready for that. Diana Nyad.
Yeah, actually, I did talk to Cheryl about it, and she thinks it would be very cool. So we'll just see if the show wants to do it, and more than anything, we'll see if I'm still on the show when they do that switcheroo.
Oh, you will
be. We are rooting for you always. Yep. Diana, what a pleasure to meet you, and I hope that we get to meet in person soon.
Thanks, Stephanie. Me too.
All right.
Take it easy.
You too. All right. There she goes, Diana Nyad. She's awesome.
Yep.
She's the awesome with awesome sauce.
She is.
Oh, my God. Didn't you just want to spoon her when she came out of the water? She just like, she was like a clackety cartoon.
And her lips were all swollen and her face.
Jellyfish. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. Think about the stuff we bitch about every day.
Yeah.
Talking about swimming with sharks, literally swimming
yes,
with sharks.
Swim at night, the dark.
Yeah. She was able to give us a little speech, though. I'm like, wow, she can talk.
Yeah. I don't think you probably, if you were friends with her, you could ever give her a lame excuse like, oh, traffic on the 405.
Yeah.
She'd go, I swam from Cuba.
I've got
to
a hangnail. I don't think.
Without a shark cage.
I've got a blister. I really don't think I can go hiking.
I can't. I have a headache. I don't want. Get in your car. Yeah. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jackie Schechner has arrived. She's powdering her nose.
Well, she's putting a gas mask on.
So. Right, to get over the Fred Skunk smell that has enveloped the compound. Okay, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. It's the famous Sue in Rockville, everybody. Where is she? Hello. Oh, Travis is still chatty, chatty, chatty. Hang on. Hello, Sue in Rockville.
Good morning.
Good
How
morning.
Are
you? Good morning.
Okay, I have no plain talk, I just want to say.
Okay, good, good.
I have Putin talk.
Oh, okay.
And I would like to suggest that we made a terrible mistake by not boycotting the Olympics. I think had the European countries and we stand together for human rights, especially against the horrible homophobic laws they've passed,
yeah.
And said, no, we're not coming. It was all corrupt anyway. Putin would have been out tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, and he would not have been emboldened. And the fact that we went there, no matter how much we said, I think emboldened him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, and somebody, by the way, just wrote, Sue, and said, isn't calling our own president weak bordering on treason? Isn't that inviting attack? I mean, the way, you know, the right wing is here, they seem to be much bigger fans of Putin's than President Obama, right?
They are unpatriotic. They are treasonous. I completely agree with that. By the way, and the other piece of it, so on the one hand, I think we made a really strategic, I think all of the countries, we should have boycotted it. We should have made, you know, it's that old, it's the old poem, you know, no one came for me. You embolden a bully and they'll just keep bullying.
Yeah.
But on the other side of Russia is China. And I really think China is the elephant or the panda, the big panda and the giant panda in the room. Because if you think China's sitting on Russia's eastern border going, oh, well, that's just a western border problem, and it doesn't impact us.
Well, there's only one way to distract them, eucalyptus leaves.
Well, we'll put up big bamboo poles. Those things are bamboo. Really tough.
Right. Okay.
Koalas eat eucalyptus.
Right, bamboo. God. All right.
Oh. Koalas are in Australia. That's where eucalyptus trees come from.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Listen, I'm about to be killed by a stalker. Just shut up, all of you. Okay, look. Oh, I got an email from Senator Marco Rubio. Steph, I have to call BS on Ms. Nyad's claim that she was the first to swim to Cuba. You've obviously not read my bio because my parents were swimming back and forth from Cuba in the 1950s. Pardon me, Senator. My mistake.
First trying to escape Castro, then trying to escape Batista, and then...
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
He couldn't quite keep that straight.
Okay. By the way, did you see the latest Chris Christie bullying protesters in a town hall? Did you see that?
No,
Julia writes, New Jersey State Police methodically intimidated people who showed up to annoy the elephantine mafia wannabe in charge of New Jersey. So town hall protesters trying to make Governor Cronut answer some questions about Sandy Aid, etc. Christie starts out his event by sarcastically and derisively warning his fans that dirty union people will be interfering with his sage words. Gads, what a sarcastic and loathsome mound of useless GOP goo. Union bashing SOB fat bastard person. I said,
get in my belly.
Get that out of her system. That's...
Yeah. She's cleansed.
Okay. All right. Oh, here's some good news. Looky here. Star Wars sequel starts production in May. Will feature familiar faces.
What?
Yes. I hope. Dick Cheney's going to be in it? Awesome.
You are part of a rebel alliance and a traitor. Take her away. What? I shot a guy in the face once. I can do it again.
I just missed Dick Cheney.
You underestimate the power of the dark side.
Plus, there's a little bonus for your free speech TV viewers. You get to see a grown man talking into a coffee cup.
There you go.
And that's his job.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Yep, they're saying that Harrison Ford.
Very good, Wookie.
Yeah, and the rest are going to be...
Wow.
The plot will take place 30 years after the events of Star Wars Episode 5, Return of the Jedi. There will be very familiar faces along with a trio of young leads, is what we're told.
Mm. Yeah, and one of them is Adam from Girls.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the most exciting...
I wouldn't know him from Adam.
I guess he's the guy that Lena Dunham's character goes to for grudge sex.
Oh, that guy. Okay. Yeah, got it. Okay. By the way, this is, this is the most exciting news I think I've heard in it. You know, I'm a House of Cards addict.
Mm-hmm.
Travis always comes in to taunt me that I'm not as far as he is.
I think we just saw the whole first season.
I haven't gotten through the second yet. Don't you tell me anything.
All right.
Okay. However, so I'm a Netflix addict. 9 to 5 reunion, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin starring in a new Netflix series. How awesome is this?
That's going to be so cool.
My close personal friend, Lily Tomlin.
I wonder if we can get her on to talk about it.
Hey,
Lily,
bet we could.
If you're listening.
She knows where
she says, Jane, I'm in Jane's earbuds every morning. She can hear me under the pillow. Lily, wake up. Come on the show.
Hello, this is Tanroka. Wake up.
34 years
after. I need
you
to call into the show.
What's our favorite line? I'm a doctor. Piss off. 34 years after 9 to 5, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin reuniting for a new Netflix series about women brought together when their husbands decide to marry each other. Oh, this sounds awesome.
What if they get Dolly Parton to guest star in an episode?
Yeah. And Dabney Coleman. Oh, so great.
Is Dabney Coleman still with us?
I believe he is.
I don't know.
Huh.
Okay.
Sorry. I have to look it up.
Hologram, something. I'm just saying. Pam Anderson was worried, Jim, that she would feel weird having sex with short hair. Who's asking her to have sex with short hair? No, that's not. She cut her hair short. I mean, you've seen it. It's adorable. Little pixie cut. She said, at first I thought I looked like Anderson Cooper or a Q-tip. But now I feel really powerful. I thought it would be weird having sex with short hair, but then I kind of got into the mode.
Yeah, she didn't have to say, ow, you're on my hair anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Saves time.
Mm-hmm.
You can give better directions. She worries, by the way, about her teenage sons having access to her famous sex tape with Tommy.
Hmm.
She said, I don't know if they've seen it, but they know about it. They know about everything. Stupid internet. How many times I've said that. Stupid internet.
Stupid internet.
Stupid tape of me doing radio in the 80s. Stupid.
By the way, Dabney Coleman is still with us.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank God. Okay, thank you. Good job, Dabney. Oh, by the way, and this just in is news to nobody, Justin Bieber remains a giant douche.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed after a shaky sobriety test in Florida that he was suffering from a hairline fracture in his right foot and then made condescending comments to officers. He pled not guilty to driving under the influence. He said he told cops he was not drag racing in a Lamborghini. He was drag racing
what
another
else do
kid
you
in a Ferrari.
That's what Lamborghinis are made for.
The speedometer starts at 100 in a Lamborghini.
Report describes Bieber as initially agitated and condescending, using frequent profanity when brought into the police station.
That's always a good idea.
He got upset and said, I'm 19 years old and just out having a good time. What were you doing when you were 19? The officer replied he was not driving around in a Lamborghini at that age.
Yeah.
And Bieber said, yeah, well, I bet you didn't have millions of dollars in your bank account either.
Oh, wow.
God. Oh, douche.
Just get douchier and douchier. Wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Someone needs to do something.
Yeah, but they're Canadian dollars, eh?
Yeah, exactly. The officer mentioned to another officer, it appeared Bieber and the other kid driving the Ferrari were having difficulty driving the high-end cars. Bieber was quoted as saying, what? What? I've been driving a Lamborghini since I was 15.
Douche squared. Illegal.
He just admitted to something illegal.
Yeah. Times
in
the square
a deposition.
Right. Times the square root of pi.
Wow, douche, he's dumb.
Douche.
Well, he's dumb and sheltered, which is...
Well, he's immune. He doesn't have to take responsibility for anything.
I've been driving without a license.
Yeah,
what?
At 15. At 1,000 miles an hour. What were you doing?
You didn't
I smell bacon.
Okay, now you've done it.
Love it when you say that.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Jackie Schaffner next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. Look who waded through the skunk smells for us. Why? Who's the pretty girl? Here, kiss my bronze ass. Thank you.
Imagine reading news.
Yes,
I do. I think she gets up in the night and burns the lights.
Yeah.
The only one who didn't fail and got it right was Jackie Schaffner. She does the news.
You are kidding. It is skunktastic in here.
Yeah. How's about that there?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Welcome to the home studio.
It's pretty.
By the way, I hear you did a fabulous job with Sexy Liberal Tom Fugelsang last week.
Oh, we had a lot of fun.
Well, and also, you helped with the fundraising drive on Free Speech TV, and I'm asking you to help one more time as a fine American, as my close personal friend. Someone made a very unwise decision for $1,000, raffling off my home address to...
Oh, nice.
Yeah. A meet and greet here in the home studio happens to be my home. So I'm just asking you, instead, can we give your home address out? Little tour of, your cat Emmy in the sink?
No,
it's a little good. Tour of the Schaffner compound?
No,
You're
the
a lot
compound?
Hotter. You're a lot hotter. You're hotter and younger than I am? Come on.
No, we're good. But what I will do is donate all of the proceeds from my salary here for the time I spent on the Stephanie Miller Show
to you.
Free Speech TV. Is that good? Is that going to get us anywhere?
What does my accountant, UConn Cornelius, say that we're paying Jackie again? I forget, because we're in a...
Whoa!
Let's see. I was adding it up, divided by four, carry the one, and...
Nothing.
Oh, well, welcome to my world. Oh, by the way, and Tommy, Jim, as you know, a helper in Columbus, writes, Steph, because we have some alternate plans. We're thinking of blindfolding the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bring
yes.
them here in a van, making them spin around.
Yeah. How many people
covering
win?
My address? I don't know. It depends on whoever gives $1,000.
Whoever gives $1,000 comes to the house.
That's a really low threshold for people
house.
To get to come to your house.
I'm like, crazy people have money too.
Yeah.
Okay. Tommy says no point in
Donald Trump. Yeah. Case in point.
Huge.
No point in blindfolding your guest who puts up $1,000 for his Free Speech TV, because if he or she has a cell phone or a smartphone, they all have GPS. It would be
right.
hard to it wouldn't be hard to mark and save the exact location of your compound. Just saying. Okay, so that's another thing.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to take their cell phones.
Right.
You got to confiscate cell phones.
Yeah, you couldn't pick a restaurant down the street or something that's. I know you don't like to leave the house.
They sometimes say in television, was ill conceived.
Yeah.
I think it might have also been out of Steph's hands. I don't think she had a choice.
I think it's, because clearly we've all fallen on hard times here in progressive media, as you know. And I think the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Why don't we auction off his address?
You know, he'll say, wasn't my idea. I was trying to help the fine people at Free Speech TV. I didn't know.
The palatial Hartenbaum compound?
Where I presumably will be buried. You know, kids, what I would do, here's what I would do, Jackie. That's too much money. For $60, you can get a Stephanie Miller Show coffee mug. It's a tax-free donation to keep free speech on the air. Do it. $120, you get a Stephanie Miller Show. I haven't even seen these yet, Jackie.
Oh, so these are new.
These are new. All new.
Because I have the Talking Liberally hats.
Well, those
and
there's
I
a,
have
there's
the
a boatload of those in the garage.
Yeah.
I'll even give you a baseball cap from the old canceled show.
Yeah, I have all that stuff.
If you come.
Current had a lot of that in the prize closet.
We had a lot of swag.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a compliment.
Didn't I bring you a box of stuff?
Were a little more optimistical about the length of our run.
Lasts a little longer than it did.
Listen, I still have stationery from my 1995 failed late night talk show.
It goes in the box.
Disney was very optimistical.
Yes.
The business cards from every job I've ever had.
Right. I imagine that
I never last long enough to give those cards away. It's not me.
I imagine that was part of the discussion when Al Gore called.
Yeah. Jackie Mark
has some news.
Could you give back your business cards?
I'm going to repurpose them.
And print
mulch
on the other side.
Now, when he called to say, I've sold the network to Al Jazeera, and I bet you somebody on the line said, do you understand how many hats we have? Can't you wait until you're talking
about
really
the hats?
I've reprinted all the hats in Arabic. I sent them to Doha.
Okay, for $240 donation, we'll send you the coffee mug, the messenger bag, and the baseball cap. For $360, you get the coffee mug, the messenger bag, the baseball cap, and the hooded sweatshirt. And what we decided, Jackie, the person that gives $1,000 for the meet and greet here with me and the Mooks in my home.
Home.
Studio. We're going to put the hooded sweatshirt on them backwards.
Ah.
Throw them in the back of the van. Take their cell phone.
Right.
You know, on a lot of those reality shows, they rent a house. It's not really their
house.
That's
right.
I feel like we need to rent you a fake house for this.
There we go.
Right?
The Osbournes lived in that house for the duration of the show. That's the only time they ever lived in that house.
There's a house under construction. It's like, it doesn't even have doors or windows. We'll just say I live there.
So
like
now you're telling people to look for a street with a house under construction.
Great.
Yeah, but it's L.A. That's like every street.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Okay.
By the way, go to freespeech.org for all those fine donations. Or you could alternatively call 1-877-378-8669. All right, do it. Good morning, Jackie Sheckler.
Good morning.
So I listened to a little bit on my smartphone. Check me out, Chris. You put my Progressive Voices app on my phone.
And now you're incorrigible.
I'm on vacation. Over there and over here in my home studio, I'm listening to Jackie Sheckner on with John Fugelsang.
How'd we do?
You were fabulous.
We had a lot of fun.
I know. I noticed you came in 2 days for all 3 hours. What could it be? What could it be? But he is fabulously sexy with amazing hair.
I'm not entirely sure how one human looks that good at that hour. It really is.
No, he's
not that all of us aren't.
He's
beautiful,
made of wax.
But, yeah, I mean, it's really...
You remember once, we were all, when we broadcast from, I don't know, wherever Al made us schlep to some hotel.
Oh, right. With Gavin Newsom and
right.
John Fugelsang.
We were sitting between Gavin Newsom and John Fugelsang. That was a little...
It was a trifecta.
Making
of,
everyone
of,
look like Quasimodo by comparison.
Yeah,
that
was... It was...
Sanctuary! Mountain ledge!
I think Gavin said to Jim, I could help you with that hump.
There's a lot of gorgeous in one area.
Yeah.
Was
like, perhaps I could help you with that hump.
What hump? All right. Oh, speaking of sexy liberal, this is the kind of amazing that the sexy liberal family is. Of course, Jackie Sheckner and her actual family, her mom, in the Fort Lauderdale sexy liberal with us just a little bit ago. Gary, staff, I will be making the trip from Honolulu for my third sexy liberal show. I did Austin, New York, and now I'm going to Madison, which is next Saturday.
Wow.
That's sold out. Forget about it. You can't get a ticket, but good luck. Chicago's coming up in April.
Chicago, not
that's
too
the
far
big
after.
Show. Chris and Jim, Mooks. Mooks a go-go.
I love Chicago. That'll be great.
Yeah. Albuquerque in May and Minneapolis in June. I was looking for a reason to spend a few days with my sister when Madison was announced. I had my reason. My sister lost a job that she really enjoyed due to Governor Walker's budget cuts, so she's looking forward to a little Walker bashing. Well, she's going to get a lot of Walker bashing. I have a niece that lives near Chicago, another one near Minneapolis, so I put together a weekend for each of them and their husbands in the cities built around those shows. We did. We built the city around Sexy Liberal. It's not the other way around.
We built this
city. It didn't become a city until Sexy Liberal comes.
That's right.
Just saying. All right. So go to sexyliberal.com. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Get all. And because, by the way, as usual, we're getting scalping sites, scam sites.
Again?
Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook and sexyliberal.com because we don't want you to get scammed or to go to scalper sites. And they're charging like $1,000 a ticket or something for Chicago.
$1,000.
Right?
And a bag of glass.
Yeah, we don't ever charge $1,000 for a ticket.
No, we do not.
Just to come to your house.
Well, yes. The ticket to your house is $1,000.
All right, Jackie, we had Diana Nyad on. And
I heard on the way in.
Isn't she awesome?
She is great.
Yeah.
I have to say, I grew up in Florida. Never once did I look at Cuba and go, I could swim there.
I could do it.
Can you see Cuba from Key West?
What am I, Sarah Palin?
I don't know. I've never been there, so I don't know how. I mean, is it like Catalina?
No.
You can see that giant Castro head floating up there over there.
Oh,
over the ocean.
No. I mean, it's close. It's close enough that people come over on
rafts
or boats. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's close enough. But
yeah.
I don't think you. I mean, I don't know. I've never taken a pair of binoculars down to Key West and tried. But
I was just
not like, hey, kids, Cuba.
I was just glad that Carlos wasn't here and did his highly inappropriate Elian Gonzalez impression from the bits we used to do 15 years ago. Because that was remember.
I am a swimming.
No. No, no.
He's wrong. He's just wrong.
No, but she is incredibly inspirational.
She really is.
And I love
that we were saying, I think we were at a moment in, you know, gay rights. I think that would be awesome if she got to dance with Cheryl Burke if she makes it to the next round.
Yes, but does she have a bronze ass?
Well, you know.
Well, probably all this
one. She can dream. You know, she can dream.
The producers didn't let Lance Bass dance with another guy, so I don't think they're going to let
her. Yeah, but it's different with the girls, right, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Maher said that once. She's so physically fit. It's 64?
Yeah. Bill Maher said that once. She said, when we say we're against gay marriage, we don't mean the girls. All right. Because this is another story about how all straight people have exquisite family values, moral values everywhere. Police in Delaware are trying to identify a woman and a man who were photographed having sex in broad daylight behind a dumpster.
Oh, I saw that photo.
Several passerbys photographed them behind a Dunkin' Donuts. And the images were quickly spread on social media.
Classy with a K.
Wasn't that a St. Patrick's Day drunken?
Don't you hate that when you're someone behind a dumpster at Dunkin' Donuts and someone takes your picture like they have no sense of decency at all?
Have you at long last no sense of decency,
sir? Is
there
no privacy in this country anymore?
That's like the couples that try to do it in the stands at games. You know, they go up in the stands, stadiums at games.
The kiss cam is going to find you.
Well, not only that. I mean, I used to work in sports, and behind the scenes, the camera guys, when you don't see, is they're scanning the crowd for hot chicks. And couples doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. So even if it doesn't make television, somebody's got that on camera. They can see every corner of that stadium.
There's not just a kiss cam. There's a... Cam. Really?
Yeah, I mean, you'll never see it, but it exists. Sure. If you're doing it, they'll catch it.
Listen, you just told us that you were playing paintball this week. Did that make you hot enough?
I went and played paintball on Sunday.
With your boyfriend.
With my boyfriend. I don't know if you can see, but I have a bruise.
Oh, wow.
A paintball hit you?
Yeah.
Wow, so you lose.
You don't know in the moment. That, I mean, I got boinked on the head at one point, and I do know where I got hit where it got me out of the game because it splatters. But if you get hit and it doesn't break, you're still in the game.
I didn't know that.
Boinked a couple of times where it didn't actually break, and then you get home and you've got all these welts.
These sounds like pregnancy tips or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get boinked. Yeah.
Right, but if it doesn't...
If it doesn't explode, then you're fine.
Then you're fine. Yeah. Good. That's when you're still in the game. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, we have Jackie's Healthcare Corner, some Ask Jackie coming up. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your 30-day free trial. What do you got to lose? Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. Right back with more Jackie Schechner on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. And we all remember Pants Free Fridays.
Yes.
From Jackie Schechner on Current TV with us. Miles would like Bikini Top Thursdays.
Ooh.
I don't know. You're going to have to, you know, get Jim a little liquored up.
Are you going to put me in a bikini top?
Yes. Yes.
All right. I'm going to wear the entire bikini atoll.
There you go.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12. You were saying you're getting a little tired of plane talk.
No, you know, I'm as fascinated by this as anybody.
Right.
I mean, it's an incredible story. Mm-hmm. It's a huge mystery. We all wish it had some fabulous outcome. I'm sorry to think that it
You know, a lot of people speculated that you fell into a black hole after Current until you magically reappeared here with us on Free Speech.
But I have to say, it's humiliating, you know, for CNN to go wall to wall on speculation. It's one thing to cover the story appropriately, and I want people to continue to cover it because it's important, and I don't want it to die out with the news cycle because I think that would be disrespectful to the victims or the survivors, hopefully, depending on what happens here. But this wall-to-wall speculation is embarrassing, and CNN's doing it intentionally. They've said in the news they're doing in news reports online, they're doing it intentionally, and then that's their prerogative. But frankly, you know, you cease being a news operation when you just sit on the air and spew.
What if it's a wormhole in the space-time continuum?
Yeah, I mean, you spew stuff about supernatural powers and black holes and Bermuda Triangles. Enough already. That's not news.
Yeah. Right. A listener wrote that as well. CNN is really going for the gold on the continuous ghost plane coverage. If Anderson Cooper sprouted a long white hair every time, every hypothetical question he's asked in the last 2 weeks, he'd look like a Yeti.
Yeah, I mean, I get why they're doing it. And what people don't understand is the people who are news junkies who watch all the time or the media critics are watching CNN front to back. I get that. But the average viewer doesn't tune in for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. They flip it on, they see what's happening, and they flip it off. When you're covering something wall to wall, people are kind of hoping for an update, I assume. But fill that time with something of value. There's a lot of other stuff going on in the world that's super important.
Yeah. Crimea, there's, you know, Boehner has turned down an extension to unemployment benefits again.
Yeah. You know, and you can't find that on CNN.
No,
it's supposed
not
to be a
all.
News network.
Right.
Jackie Schechner can tell you the GOP health care plan is not actually a plan. They have nothing to replace it with.
Mm-hmm. No.
They're
going
to keep saying this now that it's an election year, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to keep saying, look over here. We're, you know, but they literally, that is all they're running on is repealing Obamacare. They've tried 51 times. They think they're going to win just on Obamacare.
Well, I teased this on Twitter last night, and I want to explain what I was talking about. I said I see a new trend coming out in the attacks on the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
Here's what we're seeing. Pastors. People of the church. What we're seeing, and this happened last week, is that there was a Fox Opinion piece about a pastor who also worked elsewhere, but he was a pastor in a couple of churches, and he didn't have insurance. He was uninsured, and he was riding his bike, and he got hit by a truck. He's a family man, has four kids, something like that. Young, 27, I think, got hit by a truck. And because he had trouble in the first month getting on the healthcare.gov website, somehow that explains it's the Affordable Care Act's fault that he got hit by a truck and doesn't have insurance. Even though he did eventually sign up, and it's going to kick in March. He got hit in February. It's the Affordable Care Act's fault that he had trouble. Like, it doesn't mention where in there he procrastinated for 6 months and didn't bother to try again, or what his alternatives were. But that, and then it was like, Harry Reid, is this, you know, tell me, is this pastor a liar? Well, you don't want to turn around and say that a pastor's a liar, but something about the story.
Right. Or they'll go,
you're picking on
cancer victims.
Like the woman, Julie Boonstra, is that her name? Yeah. In the advertisement that we saw where they said to her, you know, you have some cheaper options. And she said, I don't believe it can be true. The other one I saw is a Twitter friend sent it to me about in Iowa, another pastor in Iowa, who has cancer. Unfortunately, I think it was like stage 3 cancer. And his insurance wouldn't cover the chemo he needed. He's $50,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. So he went to go get new insurance, and that doesn't kick in until April. And somehow it's now the Affordable Care Act's fault that he's $50,000 in debt and he's not sure he can afford this new insurance.
Right.
There's no mention of the fact that the reason why we did health care reform is because the system's so broken that somebody with health insurance can be $50,000 in debt because something like chemotherapy isn't covered.
Yeah.
So the doesn't turn around and say, hey, by the way, I mean, and I blame the media for this, the Iowa reporter who did the story, because there were some other facts in there that were really strange, like somehow they've got some $7,000 copay they need to pay, which is absurd.
Right. Wow.
And totally isn't true. I think they're misreading
speaking
that.
Speaking of strange facts, or as I call them sometimes, lies,
yeah.
Boehner's Obamacare claim garners 4 completely false Pinocchios. I mean, this is what they're going to try, just to continue to run on misinformation about the Affordable Care Act. Jackie, do you agree with, you know, a lot of Paul Begala and other people have said Democrats need to man up, basically. They need to run on Obamacare. They defend it and not run away from it.
Yeah, I've been saying that from the very beginning, is that I think that lawmakers need to understand exactly what it is, exactly what it does. They can stand up and say, it's not perfect, but it's a good step in the right direction. It's helping a lot of people. And now there are some issues we need to continue to address. But we've moved forward. Let's keep moving forward. This is not the opportunity to take a step backwards, right? Let's go forward and work together on making changes. Like you want to bring down the cost of health care and health insurance. Let's talk about adding a public option into the mix.
There you go. Mike in West Virginia, real quick. Let's get you in before the break. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Moog.
Good morning.
The lovely Jackie.
Good morning.
My wife and I have health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act. So,
hooray.
Yay.
I think all the rest of it's BS. You know, the truck, you know, it wasn't like Obamacare ran over the guy. Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I just wanted to say I'm so excited. I donated my $120, and I'm looking forward to my Stephanie Miller mug.
What?
Because there will be no coffee mug after that except for the Stephanie Miller coffee.
Yay.
Thank you guys so much. Keep up the great work. We love you.
Oh, I love you too, honey. Thank you. And Free Speech TV, thank you. FreeSpeech.org. Do it. Go now. Okay. More. We have some, lots of Ask Jackies. We'll get to all of that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have to imitate everything you see on
Stephanie Miller.
We're 12, so yes.
Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jackie Schechter live in studio with us. What a delight. What a delight she is. 1-800-STEPH-12. Lots of patient folks. Shayla in Pennsylvania. Jackie, it's for you. Hi, Shayla.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi. I have a little bit of a complicated question. I'm in a state that has not accepted the Medicaid expansion, and I'm not eligible for Medicaid for somewhat complicated reasons, even though I am not working. Mm-hmm. I'm working with some there are some agencies that are working with me to try to get me a job. But as of right this moment, I don't have enough of an income or any income to pay for health care. What would I be risking if I were to speculate on the form that I came in on the minimum to actually pay for a claim? Because I looked it up, and it would be like just over $20 a month for me to actually be insured, and it would be the first time since 2007 that I was insured.
Wow. You know what? That's tricky, and I certainly don't want to advise anybody to fudge the numbers on their on their forms. It's tricky because unfortunately the lack of the Medicaid expansion puts a lot of people into this situation where they want to buy health insurance, they want to do the right thing and get themselves covered, but they can't afford the minimum without a subsidy.
Right.
I know that at some point you can estimate based on what you made last year or what you anticipate to make. That might be an opportunity to do that, and I would give a call and just see if there's a way to kind of put what you speculate you might make and see if that would help. I mean, of course, you can apply for a hardship exemption, and that'll get you out of having to pay a fine for not having insurance. But the goal, obviously, is to be covered, God forbid something happens.
Jackie, do you think that, again, if we are strong on this and we run on it, it's going to shame these governors into eventually doing the Medicaid expansions? I mean, it seems like, a lot of people are saying that look, this is the horses out of the barn. Like they can't run really on repealing it anymore and taking these things away from people that they were saying there was like three things that are pretty easily understood, right? The pre-existing conditions, mm-hmm. the lifetime caps, charging women more than men. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but people don't even still understand that. And the biggest weapon that opponents of the Affordable Care Act have is misinformation. Bottom line is misinformation is their greatest weapon. So the more that people are confused and don't seek out real information and get wrapped up in the hyperbolic rhetoric, the more misinformed people continue to be and the more the opponents have to stand on. So my biggest advice is to try and get the facts out there, both from a politician's strategic point of view and then also from the public's point of view, is spread the word. I mean, let's put the fighting, the left and right and all of that aside, and let's talk about the particulars of what we've got here. And just remind people, Obamacare is not a health insurance plan.
Right.
Obamacare is a crappy nickname for the Affordable Care Act, which is a law that did a lot of good things for people.
Right.
Getting rid of the opportunity to discriminate for pre-existing conditions, to get rid of lifetime caps, to allow women to have the same access as men.
Yeah, here's this. I think somebody else was telling us that here's the reason why Republicans are getting a little nervous also about having to run on taking away these things that people already have is because like clockwork, it's election season. They're saying, oh, we have a replacement plan. Politico saying, here's the dirty secret about the House Republicans' efforts to replace Obamacare. They haven't even decided they want to have a vote, not to mention the House GOP would still have to repeal Obamacare in order to implement whatever alternative health care plan they release, which isn't going to happen as long as President Obama is in the Oval Office. In the next few weeks and months, the House Republican Conference, with Eric Cantor playing the lead role, will spend lots of time talking about crafting its own health plan, or one that should be positioned as an alternative. And it's crap. Yep. Don't let them,
yeah, this
them
is,
fool
this
you
is an
that
ongoing,
they actually have a plan.
It's an ongoing non-story. It's been like this forever and ever and ever. Every time one of these comes up, I say the same thing. Like, it's a total non-story. They have no interest in fixing the healthcare system. They have no interest in a replacement for the Affordable Care Act. They have no interest in dealing with this topic because it's just not in their wheelhouse and it's not something they want to do. And all of the solutions that they've come to the table with are either illogical, impractical, will do nothing to bend the cost curve, will do nothing to increase access. They're not actual practical solutions. So it's a lot of bloviating. There's absolutely no substance to it. And frankly, every article that's written about how there's no substance to it gives more credibility to something that really should just die down.
Speaking of bloviating, Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus!
Right. He's feeling awfully plucky lately. He just told reporters that if you look at a party which is riding high and which is the party in the dumps, the Democrats are in the dumps. Is anyone writing stories that it's not looking like a disaster for Democrats? It's a disaster for Democrats. He said it's going to be a tsunami-type election in November. And this is all they're running on, is against Obamacare. That's what they think it is.
I saw a really funny ad someone posted online. It was, I want to say it was like the Republican National Committee, or it was targeting young Republicans, and it was a guy dressed as a stereotypical, like, hipster, you know, with what you think you would like, at the plaid shirt,
right, right,
with the hoodie on top of it, with the dark-rimmed glasses. And he was speaking, obviously reading off of a cue card or a teleprompter because he wasn't looking at the camera, going on and on about energy and how he wants an all-inclusive energy policy, and that's why he's a Republican. And it was the most ridiculous, like,
yeah.
I don't even know how to describe how bad this ad
was. The black woman, like, in the knit cap. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, it's like,
I voted for the president.
Yeah, it's like, how fake are these things? I mean, is anybody buying this?
Hello, I am a person of color that is a Republican.
It's ridiculous.
Thanks for the sandwich and the $10. Oops, I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, and this whole article, this is in Salon, Jackie, but it's talking about this whole autopsy. They're not doing anything on policy, on anything they talked about. You were saying Reince Priebus has transformed from confidence statements on immigration reform to carefully hedged babble. I would caution you not to impose your definition of what comprehensive immigration reform is, because he knows they're not going to get that or anything else done. All they are is the party of, you know, no, and no Obamacare, and no, I mean, they have nothing, there's not, they basically, Salon's saying zero progress on the policy front, so this is it, but they think they're going to win a tsunami election because of Obamacare.
It's so depressing.
Yeah.
It's so depressing.
This just in, a family member confirms that Reverend Fred Phelps has died.
He died just before midnight
last night. He's the anti-gay pastor that behind
before
God
midnight,
Hates...
midnight, the bitching hour.
GodHatesFags.com. But we were saying it was sort of sad news in recent days. He was excommunicated by his own church, by his own family.
Because he was advocating being kinder to people.
Right.
Oh, he's seeing the light, huh?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Interesting that he comes to it now.
And so he and Shirley Phelps Roper, his daughter, got in this big power struggle within the church. Church excommunicated him.
Darn.
Yeah.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
After her cream rinse was excommunicated quite some time ago. That's just a catty thing we've often said. We're
every
trying to be helpers.
Every time she appears on TV, she has a lot of flyaways.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, we're just asking. Just a little cream rinse. Maybe, you know, Alberto VO5, hot oil treatment.
But, you know, they've picketed all these poor people's funerals, you know, many of whom were not gay, but just because the people were crazy. It was
I heard he's not having a funeral, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I know people said, I hope they picket his funeral. I hope people don't. It's like, let it go.
Yeah, ignore it.
Yeah.
Just send him on the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride to Hell.
You know, be kinder to him than he was to other people.
Yeah, and take the high road.
That's
it's hard.
You...
Trust me, it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm doing it right now. On a lot of fronts. It is hard to go to my inner Gandhi.
I'm taking
I want to go to my inner Tony Soprano.
I'm taking the high road, man.
Jim, that's
great,
a different road,
right?
Altogether. Thank you. Let's go to Mike in Albany. You're on with Jackie. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Jeff?
Yes.
Oh. Hi, it's Bill up in Albany.
Yes.
Wrong guy, but that's okay. I was on Bill, holiday last week, rocking my Stephanie Miller hat all through the Caribbean, and I was on a ship with a bunch of Canadians escaping from the Great White North. And they think we're nuts on health care. They think we're insane.
Yeah.
I hung out with a family that is a family that whose mother, the mother, is a doctor. And dad says, I go to her, I don't have to pay nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't understand why we haven't gone single payer. They're stunned. They really are.
Yeah.
And they can't believe that people want to take health care away from people. They're really amazed.
What's that, a boost,
right?
They
were basically, what's the matter with you?
What's going on?
Every civilized country in the world
is
single payer.
Well, exactly. By the way, Jackie, I'm sure you saw this, but while we were on vacation, why don't we have Democrats like this doctor that totally schooled the anti-Obamacare senator on health care?
Oh, the Canadian doctor.
Mm-hmm. Right, that Canadian doctor, Dr. Danielle Martin. She's vice president at the Women's College Hospital in Toronto. Totally schooled Senator Richard Burr, Republican in North Carolina. You
Richard
know that guy.
Durr.
That's what we call him. Of the Herp Derp Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Washington, D.C. to answer questions from a U.S. subcommittee when Burr asked Martin, on average, how many Canadian patients on a waiting list die each year?
None.
He said, do you know? She said, I don't know, sir, but I know there are 45,000 in America who die waiting because they don't have insurance at all.
Snap.
And listen to this. He said, what do you say to an elected official who goes to Florida and not the Canadian system to have a heart valve replacement? She said, it's actually interesting because, in fact, the people who are the pioneers of that particular surgery, which Premier Williams had and have the best health outcomes in the world for that surgery, are in Toronto at Peter Munk Cardiac Center just down the street from where I work. So what I say is that sometimes people have a perception, and I believe that actually this is fueled in part by media discourse, that going to where you pay more for something, that make it necessarily makes it better. But it's not actually borne out by the evidence on outcomes from that cardiac surgery or any other. Don't you wish you had a doctor from Canada?
It's a great exchange. You know, I was in Spain. Right after we passed the bill, I went to Spain, and I was part of this program where we met with a bunch of government leaders and public officials. And we had this lunch with the head of the Democrats in Spain and the head of the Democrats or the Republicans in Spain, or at least in Madrid when we were there. And the Republican guy and I got into a bit of an altercation over lunch because he said, well, you know, if I were in the United States when this passed, I would fight against it. And I said, with all due respect, sir, you married a Spanish woman and moved to a country where you have access to health care as part of your taxes. So I think it's a little hypocritical. And he said, well, nobody's dying in the streets in the United States from lack of health care.
I
said, as a matter of fact, sir, they are. 40,000 people every year die from a lack, or 45, depending on the statistics, die from a lack of access to health insurance. And I literally teared up and got up and walked away from the table. And my friends were, you know, asking if I was okay. And I said, you know what? I've been fighting this for 2 years. I hear these stories every day. It is such a myth that this isn't an actual issue where people are dying. And yes, they are dying in the streets. They are dying for lack of access to health care in this country. And it's embarrassing for us as a nation, and it's tragic.
Yeah.
And the fact that there are lawmakers now who want to take away what access we've managed to extend to people is disturbing.
See, this is why you are smarter and a better debater than I am, because you stuck with Sir when I would have gone with Nimrod.
Yeah.
I would have maybe progressed to
I did tear up, though. I was a little girl in that.
Aww.
I did.
That's
adorable. I got up and I couldn't take it anymore. I can't listen to people say that this isn't a human issue. Well, it's not political.
Speaking of dying in the streets, if you're going to be running with the bulls in Pamplona, you better have health insurance.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, dummies. Okay. All right. I think I just felt America fall a little more in love with Jackie Shackman. America's sweetheart already. Okay, 48 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments. Oh, no.
Oh.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Jackie Shefner on The Stephanie Miller Show.
More than our share of the nattering nabobs of negativism.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Stop. Oh, Jim and I can't get enough of our old jokes. Every time I crawl around on the floor to pick up, like, show prep papers, mm-hmm. Jim says... Go ahead.
What do I say? I don't remember.
While you're down there.
Oh, okay. While you're down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
There you go.
Get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Jackie Schechner.
Yeah.
Speaking of hotness. Live in studio with us. You know, we've been talking about this, but obviously midterms coming up pretty, you know, quickly. Salon writing the same thing that I've heard elsewhere, that I hope Democrats get a clue about. More and more people are signing up for coverage. The GOP is losing opportunities to sabotage Obamacare's implementation. Who knows what could happen if by some chance Democrats actually start defending the law.
Gosh, that would be such a smart strategy.
Yeah.
Just go out and talk about all of the great stuff that's happening. And I want people to keep in mind, too, this is another thing that's happening, is you're hearing people say, well, 5 million signed up, but not all have paid their premiums. Well, the reason why a lot of people haven't paid their premiums is because they haven't gotten a bill yet.
Right.
Because the insurance companies are so backlogged because they didn't hire enough people to handle this because they didn't want to. They were dragging their feet. So a lot of them, you'll sign up, and then you'll never, you can't get a bill to pay. And if you want to go online to pay, you need your membership number in order to do that, and they don't give you an, it's a mess.
Yeah.
And it's a mess on the back end, and it's at the hands of the insurance companies. So if people haven't paid their premiums yet, they need to dig into why that hasn't happened. And a lot of times it hasn't happened because the insurance companies are holding it up on their end.
Thanks. As Jackie Schechner always says, stop blaming stuff that your insurance company is doing on Obamacare.
That's right.
Stephen Madison, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Steve.
Hi,
Steve.
Thanks for having me on.
Yes, go ahead.
I really think this is great that we're talking about running on Obamacare because I think it's the right strategy. But I think it's also important to be very careful with the words that we use. And so I think we should not be saying things like, yeah, it's not perfect, but let's work together to fix it, because at a minimum that validates the repeal part of the replace and repeal baloney that the opposition is putting forward.
Jackie Schechner is shaking her head, sir.
Well, the reason why I disagree is I think being honest with people is the best way to go. I mean, every time we try to sugarcoat things, we end up getting called on it, and not, I'm not we, by we, I mean the administration. Well, so I think it's important to...
Respectfully,
go ahead.
I think the thing to do is to choose your words carefully and not say it's not perfect, but rather say let's build on what Obamacare
on the foundation.
Has as a foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a smart strategy, but at the same time, I just think it's important... I mean, we didn't get everything we wanted. And so you can turn around and say it's not perfect because we didn't get everything we needed.
The president said a long time ago, in a perfect world, single payer would be the way to go.
And you're right. Words matter. And I say that all the time. I think words absolutely matter. And you're right. Like, building on the foundation is a really good way to go.
We could say we built that. Obamacare.
Yeah,
we built that.
No, and I think he's right. I think words are very important, and I say that all the time. The reason why I like to say it's not perfect is because people expect it to be this, like, magical cure-all fantasy dust solution, and that's not what you're gonna get when you have something as large and as complicated as a healthcare system that involves a medical industrial complex that makes billions and billions of dollars.
Yep. You know, if we hadn't lost that voiceover guy, Jim, the In a Perfect World guy, we could use him in the campaign.
Don LaFontaine?
But we have Jim, and he can do Don LaFontaine in a perfect world.
In a world where...
Single payer.
A single payer is the standard.
That's good.
And giant metallic robots rule the earth.
I don't think I've heard that one before. That's a good one.
He was the famous voiceover guy.
I know.
He did all the movie trailers.
I don't think I've heard Jim.
In a perfect world.
When did he pass away?
In a world.
About a year ago, maybe more.
Don LaFontaine? No, it was a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it was several years ago. You're right. Yeah.
Peter in Oklahoma, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Peter.
Hello there. It's Oakland.
Sorry, go ahead, real quick.
Travis is drunk.
Yeah.
Hey, $1,000. People get to come have dinner with you. You've been concerned about them coming to your house. Here's the perfect idea. Do it at Jim or Chris's house.
Good idea. Thank you, sir. Nice
to meet
you.
No, you don't want to do it at my house.
No. Oh. You're right. Wow. Yeesh. I'd have to vacuum for a year.
Yeah,
Jackie Schechner, thank you. We love you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Go to freespeech.org and give, won't you? Jackie Schechner says so. Right, Jackie?
Always.
Yes, thank you. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.